Welcome back to the PLL Happy Hour podcast. Matt, we've got a special one for you. Matt Kinnear here with Kevin Brown. We got an MVP theme podcast. PLL MVP or championship MVP Michael Sowers in the building. We got in PLL regular season MVP Trevor Baptiste. Guys, excited to have you on. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. Appreciate it.
It's been like an insanely long season, to say the least. Mike, you know better than most, just fighting through adversity, fighting through injuries, and coming right off that to go to the Team USA training camp. Just where's your mindset at, and just how tired are you?
It's definitely like you hit on. I mean, it's a long season. And I think one of the difficult parts is, like, you go through the season and you don't have, like, the training room available every day like you would in college, where you could just kind of go in and get treatment at leisure. Essentially, you're on your own all week, and then you can go and get treatment on the weekends from the PLL staff. But it, like, makes injuries, like, a little tougher to manage. So now, I mean, I feel like, you know, naturally just playing, you're in good shape. So now it's just kind of getting the body right, get it ready for the October training camp.
How was
this championship?
Sorry, man. Got me so excited about the Team USA. Just how was the few days Team USA HQ?
It was real cool. It was obviously to play against guys that you would usually compete against, or to play with them, it was a really cool experience. I think, like, people say it all the time, but it really is true. Anytime you have a chance to put on the Team USA uniform, whether it's a tryout or an actual game, like, it's definitely like a little added meeting. And you feel it. I mean, you feel the energy when you go out there and compete, even if it's a practice or a scrimmage. Like, there's a different level of intensity to the play. And I think, you know, you could certainly feel that this past weekend.
Mike, what's it like winning a pro lacrosse championship, which first of all is awesome in its own right, but then winning it in front of your hometown crowd and being the MVP, getting the championship belt at the end of it, just all of that. Can you just describe that?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty crazy. It was like really tough to put into words, like, you know, obviously, like, it was a super, like, back and forth game. And, you know, you don't really, like, get to acknowledge, like, the people in the crowd until after, obviously. So, you know, after winning and then being able to share that moment, I think we bought, like, 130 tickets or something like that. And that wasn't even including, like, our 20 comps. So we had, like, an entire section. And just having all of them there, it was just, like, really special. And then they were obviously able to come out, like, after and hang out at like the post game. So it was just like, it was a lot of fun. The game was awesome. And then, you know, winning it, being able to do it in front of them was really cool.
And then they did give you that, belt, and Triple H gave you a shout out on Twitter. that's gotta be something you weren't ever expecting in your career. Triple H was going to be talking about you on Twitter, right?
That was pretty wild. I mean, I didn't really know how to respond except, like, thank you, because obviously Triple H is a legend.
Is the most, like, innocent thank you reply tweet.
I didn't really know what else to say, because obviously he's like a legend. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, my brothers, like, sent me that. They're like, dude, this is wild. I was like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it was cool. I mean, just like the whole week after the championship, you know, like, being able to, like, talk to your teammate and, like, have it, like, able to digest it a little bit, as opposed to just like the raw emotions after the game. Like, I think it kind of like sets in, like, a few days later, like, the season's over. There's no next week. You know, like, we had just won it. It's a pretty cool feeling.
Just how quick was the turnaround from, like, how far did the celebration go into the week, and when did you have to be like, all right, I gotta prepare for Team USA tryouts here this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the celebration was like a little short lived. It was definitely a tough wake up Monday morning, being like, all right, I gotta turn around, do this again, and do it really to like a different level of intensity. But for me, it was like I woke up Monday and you know, just trying to get the body right, because essentially like these PLL weekends, you really just like prepare for one game. It's like, all right, I just got to get through the 48 minutes. And like with the USA tryouts, the reality is like you're preparing for like two-a-days for 3 days straight. And like the two-a-days, like I said, like that's a different level of intensity. So I think that, you know, it was just like Monday morning came and you like turn the page real quick. Like I really still don't feel like I like it hit me that we won it. Because like I said, like you're just still in go mode because of the USA stuff. And it's really just about like getting healthy and getting ready for these weekends.
With this, you know, and I don't want this question to come off like I'm questioning you, but like, you know, it's always a good day when there's multiple guys who could have been named MVP. And I think that kind of really like, you know, you rightfully, deservedly so, won that MVP of the championship game. But there's just something about this Water Dogs team where like the selfless nature of it, where there was just multiple guys who just like came through whenever you needed it. Can you describe just like what it's like that, you know, someone's going to step up in the key moment with this team?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I think that's one of the cool things about our team is that like, you could have probably given that MVP trophy to 8 different people on the team. You know, and like, I think that I just happen to be the MVP for whatever reason, but really could have gone to anybody, anybody on our starting lineup and deep into the bench. And I think that it just kind of speaks, and honestly, like any of those 8, like if you ask them, like they could care less if they won the MVP or not. You know, for us, it was just about like winning. And I know it sounds cliche, but like just spending another week together. Like, I think we have like a genuine locker room that like really enjoys our time together. And that was just what we said from the first round. Like, let's just try and buy another week together. And the fact that, you know, our season ended in a dog pile and then we're able to go out and kind of celebrate it as a group, you know, was really something special. And I think, like I said, I mean, it's a pretty unique locker room in the sense that I think everybody on our offensive end, whether you have 0 points or you have 8 points, like you could care less as long as we get the win. I think Coach Cope and really the vets too, like Kieran, Connor Kelly, like Mikey, like all those guys kind of like instilled that in us younger guys from day one. And we just kind of fell in line and followed suit.
Yeah. Not a bad problem to have when no one really cares who's putting up the points. Right. And hope to cultivate that into the next season as well as into this international team with Team USA. Is we know, Trevor, you were with the Team USA this past weekend, but other than being a member of the Philadelphia Wings, star face-off guy for the Wings indoor, not too sure what your Philly connection is or how strong it is with just being a Jersey native, but just seeing Michael just win championship MVP and the performance he put on in the championship and postseason run. Just, I know as a competitor, it might not have been great to see as Mike's Dogs knocked you guys out, but just how cool was it to see the season culminate in that way?
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, I think, you know, like, obviously, like you said, like, competitor in me, you know, everybody wants to be playing on that last day, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't want that or anybody on our team didn't want that. But, you know, really, it's really cool to see the Water Dogs win it because, one, you know, I really believe, you know, out of the relationships that I've made in lacrosse generally, you know, you guys got a really good group of guys, you know, so it makes it easier to feel better about a team winning when you really respect the guys that are doing it, you know, so I truly do believe that the Water Dogs are a great group. And like Mikey said, you know, I'm not in their locker room, but you can tell, you know, playing against them that they really got a good thing going over there. So, you know, it's really congratulations to them and Mikey, obviously to you. You know, it's really cool and it's something to work towards, you know, like watching that game, seeing the celebration, seeing the 50K Cash App ticket come out, you know, you're looking and you're saying, you know, like we're going for that, you know, so it's something to look forward to.
Trevor, how much do you and Mikey know each other? Like, I mean, have you guys played, you haven't played together, but you know, maybe just USA stuff, but
yeah.
Have you guys interacted?
Yeah, like a little bit, obviously this past weekend and, like I've heard nothing but great things and, you know, I've seen you, been watching you play for a while. You know, I'm from New Jersey, like you said, but I'm from North Jersey, so don't really have as strong of a Philly connection aside from playing from the Wings. You know, like it's, you know, it's great. All the time that I have spent with you, Mikey, has been great and, looking to spend some more time together, you know?
All right, Mike, before we let you go now, just got to flip the question on you because I know talking about yourself is not the funnest thing to do for either of you. Just, Mike, you saw the season Trevor put on. Just for him to be named the first pro field black MVP and second ever faceoff specialist, just from afar, just how special of a season did you witness Trevor have and just kind of – how hard is it to play against?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we drew that first round matchup, like that's, and I think a lot of people in the league would say that, but that's the one team that you don't want to draw because of a lot of reasons, but mostly because of one man, and that's Trevor. You know, and obviously, I think his play speaks for itself. You know, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to play at the position. But I think more than anything, like he's just a great ambassador for the sport. And I think like as a guy that is a few years younger than him, being able to learn how he handles himself, not only on the field, but off the field as well. Like it's something that I'm able to take a lot away from afar and like not really knowing him a ton. But, you know, just hearing things from other people and from our peers and how much he's respected. You know, I've always respected him a ton on the field for obviously everything that he's accomplished and continues to accomplish. But like I said, I think the thing that's coolest about Trevor is, you know, how he is such an ambassador for a sport and how he's so well respected off the field. And like I said, as a younger guy, that's something that you aspire to do is to be respected not only on the field, but off the field by your peers.
So, and before we let you go, just Trevor brought up the Cash App 50K you guys got post game. You obviously with the biggest prize in the world being named championship MVP with the 5 G's going to you. Just how surprised were you by that and just how cool of a kind of post game championship win kind of feel was it?
Yeah, it was that was pretty crazy. I was worried that I wasn't gonna come through. Like I'm the type of person that like gives them the wrong email address or the wrong like Cash App tag and it gets sent to somebody random. So I didn't actually believe it was coming through until it came through. But when it came through, a lot of it went to the bar tab Sunday night, which I didn't feel too bad about. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of it. Definitely. I don't know. I got to buy some new shoes or something.
is that a thing like the MVP has to pay the bar tab for?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's I think it's just like the younger guys in general.
Oh boy, it is now.
But particularly me, I mean, I remember waking up on Monday morning being like I spent an obnoxious amount.
Trevor's so sitting there like, oh, when I win championship MVP, I'm gonna have to pick up the tab now because you set this precedent.
Oh man, that's funny.
All right, Michael, thank you for spending so much time with us. I know you got a jet and you got a Manning's broadcast for Monday Night Football you gotta watch, but no, thank you so much for stopping by and congrats again on the Water Dogs title.
Yeah, thanks a lot guys, thanks for having me. Try to see you in a couple weeks.
Peace man.
Thanks Mike.
Yeah.
perfect little transition there, Trevor. Thanks for sticking along for a little bit with us as Mikey ditches us for some work duties. But we strive on with the Happy Hour podcast. And as you mentioned, a couple weeks from now, you get to play the historic Terps in the Fall Classic, right? The that up in Sparks, Maryland. So that'll be cool. Just coming off another training camp session for you all. For you especially, I think you are one of the definite locks of this Team USA roster. Having time to practice with TD, Joe Nardella, Mike Sisselberger, just how cool is it just to see the accumulation of talent at your position? But just when you look around, I'm sure you face-off guys had some downtime in between those crazy drills you do.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely lots of downtime in between reps, and you know, to answer your question, the talent at this position is incredible. Obviously, you know, at the for Team USA last weekend. Just to preface, I definitely want to say this: I didn't play. I'm actually still kind of getting back healthy myself. I know I heard you and you guys and Mikey talking about that. Just a lot of lingering injuries and things like that. So I was there. I didn't participate in actually playing. But it was even cooler to take a different perspective, you know, watching those guys, and you know, really can't compliment those guys enough how skilled they are. I think they all kind of have a little bit of a different style. It's so great to see how they've mastered their style and how it's taken them this far. And I think, you know, you look at the face-off position all over, not just with Team USA. I think there's a lot of mutual respect for face-off men. I think, you know, we have a very niche position, but I think everybody is probably one of the only really hard head-to-head situations in lacrosse, you know? And, you know, you would think with that, there'd be a lot of animosity towards each other, but I think a lot of people respect guys that are doing it and everything that they have to offer.
Yeah. Especially with how much you guys get whacked.
These games. Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's a grudge match, you know, it's a cage match. You put the ball in between two guys that, you know, I feel like almost every face-off guy growing up is like, at least when I was growing up playing, it's like, he's like a really good ground ball guy. Like, he should be good at face-offs, you know? So you kind of take those two guys and put a ball in between them and blow the whistle, you know, and things are going to kind of go crazy. So
it is always crazy that like you guys like all get along so well, it seems like, and all kind of share, you know, tricks of the trade and stuff like that, but you compete so hard. But Trevor, I wanted to ask you, like, have you gone through your head and like, what's the alternate reality if you didn't end up at Denver? You know what I mean? I know you were committed to F&M. Have you kind of gone through and said like, what would my life be like right now if just, you know, you didn't go to one event and in the summer and your life would be completely changed? Have you thought about that?
Oh, before you answer that, for the listeners, you should have seen the eyes perk up from Trevor. Yeah. There, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, great question. No, I think about it a lot, and it's actually a very grounding, you know, mental exercise, if you will, that I go through, because things would be extremely different for me. You know, I think, you know, some could argue I wouldn't be playing pro, you know, and without playing pro, you know, maybe I don't get the opportunity to have a chance to try out for Team USA. You know, maybe, you know, I play 4 years at Franklin and Marshall and I get a really good job with an alumni in insurance and I'm just not playing lacrosse anymore or something like that. You know, I think the possibilities go in many different directions, but, the reason why I say it's really grounding is because there was a lot that went into it. And, you know, I do feel like, you know, leaving this season, you know, winning MVP and having success at a high level, you know, sometimes you feel like, I don't want to say unstoppable, but you feel big, you know, you feel like alpha, you know, and I think thinking about those situations really bring everything back to reality of like, you know, like I'm the same person that I was before I committed to Denver. I'm the same person that I was before I went to the Under Armour All-American, you know, like I am the same player and I just have practiced more, you know, and I've played at a higher level and I've challenged myself more. But all of those things are the reasons that get you to a high level. It's not anything else, you know? So it kind of keeps me motivated. It lets me see that, you know, there's more goals to reach, you know, like winning a championship with the Atlas and it keeps me motivated and keeps that undertone of humility, which I think is extremely important.
Well, before transition to my next question, you mentioned you weren't playing this weekend for Team USA. Do you expect to play in the Fall Classic, and just how is the hammy feeling?
I'm definitely expecting to play. Partially tore my hamstring in the season, and I was kind of able to get back. You know, definitely want to shout out my PT Nate out here with Physio Pro and my trainer Pat, you know, and the STEMI clinic with the PLL. Like they really put me through great rehab, and I got a PRP injection, and they kind of really got me back on the field in half the time that I really should have. But at the end of the day, you know, we talk about tearing anything. It's definitely wasn't completely healed playing, and that doesn't mean that I wasn't in a position to play, you know, and play well and at a safe standard. You know, I definitely was, but you know, I definitely was feeling it after the season. I kind of restrained it in the last game. So, you know, you look forward to that outdoor indoor player. You know, I'm looking at, you know, training camp starts in November and I'm back on the grind playing until June and then starting a PLL season in June. So it's definitely important to try to get it back to 100% as quickly as possible, because gonna be logging in a couple more miles this year, you know. Miles. So
no, it is crazy. The grind that you guys go through is unbelievable with NLL season starting back up. But once you're on the sandy beaches of San Diego for next summer, it'll all be better, hopefully, for Team USA wise. But you just mentioned just staying grounded with thinking back to the days you were committed to FNM and going through your awesome pioneer career into the MLL, now PLL, just this rise and becoming the first Black outdoor MVP, to honing your craft so well, pretty much being at 70% win percentage on a bum leg. Just what's it like getting to this point, and what's it like to just inspired like a generation of future Baptistes?
It feels great, and I appreciate all that. I think would I have ever thought that this was even possible and would have happened? Absolutely not, you know. And it's definitely sometimes it's surprising, but you know, I think it definitely feels great. I think I'm extremely fortunate for, you know, being lucky in some cases, you know, yeah, being in the situation where, you know, Denver needed another faceoff guy to add some depth and to get that shot. And also, you know, having so many great people around me, you know, I think, you know, I can't sit here and talk that I haven't been coached by some of the best coaches to ever coach the game, maybe to ever coach any game, you know, in multiple levels, whether that's, you know, high school, college, obviously, and Coach Tierney, you know, Coach Tanowski with USA and Seth Tierney and Amplo, you know, I have a lot of great mentorship. You know, my family's always been there for me and kind of, you know, promoted me to reach for my goals, you know, even though, yeah, I remember when I had to decommit from Franklin and Marshall, I was sitting talking with my parents and my sister, and And, you know, they're like, yeah, you're going to go to Denver and, you know, you never really got looked at by any top five schools. Like, you might not play, you know, you've never been in a situation in your career where you've haven't played, you know, on the team that you've been on. And are you ready for that? You know, and are you ready for this jump to the next level? And I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And they're like, well, absolutely. We're behind you. Let's do this. So I've had a lot of great people in my corner, and obviously, you know, teammates too, you know, the face-offs is sometimes you feel like you're on an island. So I've had a lot of great people behind me there too.
Trevor, it's funny, you know, we're talking to Mike, and you know, he's pretty new to pro lacrosse, and yeah. You're certainly not old, but it's funny how it sneaks up, like where you kind of cross that line of like, you know, being the new guy and then being a veteran, and you're kind of closer to the veteran status now. Like, what's the
crazy? Got bump leg, rock around like a yeah. What happened?
Like, what's, like, I don't know. How has your like perspective changed now that you're a few years in of this, you know, professional lacrosse person, professional lacrosse player lifestyle? Like, how's your perspective changed?
It's changed a lot. I think the core foundations of, you know, hard work, being a great teammate, you know, competing to win, you know, obviously those stay the same. But, you know, nuances of the game, like if you want to talk X's and O's, you know, timing, understanding that in some cases it's better to work smarter and not harder. Trying to understand what other teams are trying to accomplish, maybe in the same line of what you're trying to accomplish. You know, all those things come to mind. But, you know, when you think about just the lifestyle, you put a lot of value. I think when you're young, you're just trying to obviously play your best, make your mark, and, you know, follow that veteran leadership that your team is given, you know. And I think now being on that side, now you're kind of tossed in this position that you're setting the culture, you know. And I think that's taught me a lot about, you know, you learn what works and what doesn't work through your experience, but also, you know, you learn the value of really getting to know people, you know. And I feel like I've always been a very social person, but you got to know your teammates. So when you are setting that standard or precedent or when people are looking towards you to say something or to do something, that you have a really strong rapport with everybody, that you trust them and they trust you. I think those are big keys. And you just try to like, just do your best, you know, like I think physically too, you know, you start feeling it a little bit more. You're like, oh my gosh, like hopping on these flights. I've been doing this for a while. And then you take, you kind of take youth for granted. Not to say I'm extremely old now, but when I was 23, 24, I could just hop on the plane, play, you know, go out with the team, fly back, be in the gym the next day, you know, fly somewhere, do a clinic, fly back, fly somewhere else, fly back, fly, play another game. And now it's like, I'm like, I got to focus on like recovery and like stretching. And he's like, yeah, that was never, ever did, you know, that was never something I ever did. There's a lot. You learn a lot.
How often when you're taking these flights do you get recognized? You bringing this like big cross bag with you?
Yeah, no, I think at least at PLL we're fortunate. They we just carry on, so they keep most of our gear and they bring it to the weekend. But with indoor, yeah, I you know, you get recognized here and there. A lot of times at baggage claim, people are like, oh, or sometimes you see a kid and he's got, you know, a 91 or Denver Elite or some like backpack, and you're kind of just standing there, and then you can see them looking at you and you're just like, oh, shit, like, are they going to say hi?
Like, right.
Yeah. Right. Are you Trevor? Yeah. Yeah. You play lacrosse too? Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes it happens, but definitely not all the time.
for sure. But no, it's gotta be cool when you do see get those stares a little bit. Yeah. Albeit sometimes awkward. Now, Trevor, so as you alluded to, just one of the leaders that does set the culture for Atlas locker room, just one of the captains of that team, just growing into a more veteran presence in general. Just, you know, you've seen a lot of the up and coming things the PLL has done with the culmination of year four here and kind of a spin forward into year five with onset of free agency, which is new for the outdoor version of this the pro game. Just how excited are you to see what happens there, and do you expect more player movement than usual?
I think, you know, I'm definitely excited. I think pro lacrosse has needed that for a while. I think that I think it's going to be interesting to see how much movement there actually is. Reason being is there's eight teams, you know, and there's a lot of talent out there. I think you look at, you know, the top 10% of the league, you know, they're spread across eight teams. Are those guys going to be moving? And if they are moving, you know, as a coach or GM, if somebody's really not happy, you know, if it's a person that I feel we could let go or something, I'm going to try to trade them. Obviously, like there's just too much value, you know, to just let somebody go as a free agent. And then what I think is going to be really cool to see is maybe kind of the bottom percentage of the league, you know, guys are really going to have to take a shot on themselves. You know, they're going to have to say, hey, I'm going to go into free agency and I'm going to bet on myself that I know that I can either work towards being something that could be an asset for another team, or I know that I am an asset for another team, which is a daunting thing to think about. You know, like sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and sometimes it also is, but you know, there's definitely a lot of talented players that still aren't playing right now, on the eight teams. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I'm excited for it. And, you know, bottom line is it gives players more leverage and more freedom, you know, to really find the best match for them, you know?
All right, Trevor, we've done this podcast this year, and it feels like a consistent theme has been, you know, the best lacrosse players in the world are all tremendous athletes across a number of sports. And, you know, I know that you have a multi-sport background. Swimming is the one that I know that, like, you excelled in. Just, would you be the same lacrosse player you were today if you didn't play other sports?
Definitely not. You know, I think playing multiple sports teaches you a lot about discipline, you know, and sometimes, you know, I think about, like I said, I think everybody knows about swimming because, like, I think people see me and they're like, there's no way that guy swam, or like, it's like, I get just so off beat, you know. But I think, you know, swimming taught me a ton about discipline. Talk about a sport that is just so grueling, and you have to put so many hours in just to get incrementally better, you know, or you in, there's so much pressure. You know, you train all year for one meet where you're supposed to swim your best, and then, you know, maybe you slip off the block or something like that. Something crazy happens and it's like, oh man, you know, and being able to digest that and keep going, it teaches you a lot. You know, we talk about, you know, playing football growing up, like that physicality, being able to take a hit, being able to run your assignment and be on the same page in like a free flowing game or in the middle of a play, you know. So it teaches you a lot. And just like the constant in all of them is that competitive nature. There's obviously sports that I played that I wasn't crazy about, you know, and you still got to go out and compete, you know, you still got to go out and practice if you want to compete at a high level. So teaching you all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And Trevor, we talked a lot about international during this podcast, but this is the PLL Happy Hour podcast. And
yeah,
aside from free agency, aside from you know, maybe having two of the first three picks next year's draft. Just what's one thing you're looking forward to for PLL season number five?
Yeah, you know, I'm obviously excited to get the group back together. I think, you know, kind of, you know, I don't want to talk too much about, you know, the Water Dogs and their experience, but, you know, I obviously heard you guys, Mikey, and you guys talking about their locker room. I think we share a similar experience and that we have a really good group of guys, you know, and I really enjoy spending time with them. But obviously I think we all are in the same boat that we want to win. You know, I think that's definitely first and foremost, like we want to get to the championship game and win it. So those are some things that I'm personally looking forward to. And then, you know, if you talk about the league as a whole, you know, I think it's just been so amazing to see how it's grown year after year, and just the different advances that they've made just within the sport, but also just generally as a business. It's really exciting. And I'm excited to see them do more. You know, I think every season is added more, you know, it's added more, whether that's, you know, hype or, you know, more people at the games, a better player experience in different situations. So I'm excited to see what they got cooking up there. And like I said, most importantly, getting the job done on the field is most important for sure.
Absolutely.
Trevor, you get to interact with a bunch of fans, you know, whether it's at PLL games or NLL games and future players with, you know, camps and clinics and things like that. You know, you're a 365 days a year lacrosse guy. What do you see about the next generation of lacrosse athletes and fans and the future of the sport from your experience?
Yeah, you know, like I'm probably gonna say something that people wouldn't expect. One, what I think is expected is the talent. And I think a lot of that comes from the coaching and just more people around the game that really know what they're doing. And you see that, you know, not only in, you know, the typical like Long Island, Baltimore, New Jersey, Philly, like you're starting to see that in California, you know, Oregon, Texas, like all these different places that lacrosse really, if there was lacrosse, like it was a very low level. And now you're getting great teams and players from all those regions, which is really cool. It's going to add to the game. I think that's one. I also think too, like kind of mixing it in to the PLL, you know, growing up and also even when I got drafted in 2018, and I don't mean to say this as a knock to the MLL at all, but kids didn't know about the MLL. Kids did not care about the MLL. And not only kids, but college kids that were getting drafted sometimes were like, they were really good. We're like, I don't know if I really want to play, you know, like this is just whatever, maybe I'll try it out. Like there really wasn't like a want or desire to get to the next level. And college was looked at that like, okay, I got to get committed to a Division I school. And like, that's going to set me up for the next thing that I'm ready to do in life, which is not lacrosse, you know? And now you're seeing kids, you know, of all different ages, you know, down from youth up to college kids in D1 that want to play pro, which was never the case, which is so exciting to see that and how that's going to play out over the growth of the game. And the one thing that I'm going to say that is probably unexpected is, and this ties into what we were saying about other sports is.
And the face-off?
I think the face-off is going to stay. I mean, that's just me. I'm a little biased. I think it adds a physicality.
You said unexpected. I had to come up with something.
No. I was going to say was it's okay to play other sports and it's okay to not play lacrosse every day of the summer. That's okay. Okay. So I think, you know, I see it coaching sometimes. I think some kids are starting to get a little bit burnt out, you know, with all the tournaments and camps and things like that. I think it's important to work hard, but you got to be able to know when you've reached your limit, you know, and that's something that I'm seeing now in my career, you know, and I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, somebody that's playing 365, you know, but a lot of times when you're a kid, you know, you hop into all these tournaments and you know, now there's so much lacrosse, you know, you got kids that are playing for five different club teams and going to, you know, 12 different tournaments over 2 months, you know, which is crazy. So I think it's okay to, you know, take time to develop yourself as well. That's basically what I'm trying to say. Take time to practice on your own, develop your skills, hone in on your skills. And maybe that consists of going to a tournament, but you know, you can get a lot of stuff done at practice too. You know, you can get a lot of stuff done at practice.
Trevor, you legend, some wise words there from an all-time great. So thanks again for joining the PLL Happy Hour podcast. I know just even watching Sixes this summer is like, maybe Ban the Face-Off is like going to be kind of cool. But the only thing it would eliminate is awesome, infectious personalities like yourself. So thanks. As we end with that.
I'm sorry. You can't just end this with, oh yeah, maybe we should ban the face off. You know? What?
Well, I save it for the end. This way I don't get beat up the whole podcast here.
No, I think the face off adds a big piece of physicality to the game.
You were getting a little nervous over the summer when you were watching the Sixes games, weren't you?
I was not getting nervous at all. I was not getting nervous. I think Sixes is great. I think, let me put it this way. I think there's a negative connotation to face-offs to some people. And I think truly to be a very talented face-off guy, you need to be a good lacrosse player. And that's fact. And I think this idea of like, oh, the guy who's not good at lacrosse is deciding the game, I just don't think that's really a thing anymore. I think it can be a thing, but at the same time, I think it's a very easy excuse to make for coaches, players, anybody.
Absolutely, Trevor. Well, thanks again for being on the PLL Happy Hour podcast. It was quite a hoot. Thanks again to Michael Sowers and, you know, Matt. I think this was a nice little MVP, most valuable podcast. Yeah. So thanks again. Share it to all your friends. And thanks for listening.